This is the College Football Inquirer's 500th episode. So before we get to the pod, let's look back at some of the pod's best moments as a show.
The pole assassin decided to blame the kid for getting back there. You're supposed to know better.
I don't know if I've ever seen a more disastrous, self-induced gaslighting the situation more than Dan Thomas.
Pete, did you really think that the pole assassin is like a crisis management mind? Like, what exactly did you expect?
I throw the book at everyone. Everyone gets life in prison. Everyone. The fact is, you do have monkeys in your possession, and you call them emotional support monkeys, which you know is a pet peeve of mine. There's no such thing. I hated the horse. I hate all the dogs on the planes. I hate the cats. I sure as hell hate the capuchin monkeys that are on the planes, too. She's out. The monkey's out for being an emotional support fraud and for biting somebody and having a bad temper. And the kid is out for being criminally stupid.
Speculation has grown that San Francisco-born Hans Niemann inserted wireless vibrating beads into his body before his victorious match against world number one grandmaster Magnus Carlsen last week. I don't know the question.
You really picked some good ones today, Dave.
Does anything really go? Is this allowed? Could this ever get to college football? What the hell is this? Is it that important to win a chess match? I'd like to see the patrons get a little less handsy, but hey, it's the Mooncake Festival. You don't know what's going to go down. Anything's possible.
If they're going to do it, this needs to be the year to do it, as Dan grabs a Natty Light from his bag and pops it.
Do you have
open.
Any more of those Natty Lights in the bag?
Not on me.
Damn.
Go make a run to the little...
Tell our pod listeners I'll be back in like a minute.
Where are you going?
I'm making a beer run.
Well, I would take one too. By the way, a little aside.
Making a beer run during the pod.
A sidebar. This is a show. A sidebar to last night.
They're listening to a 65-7 pod. I mean, get a life, people.
This is the best contributions past me.
You think Georgia? Yes. You think Georgia's the winner? We're the real winners tonight.
For a glass of water when you visit our town, crack a smile,
drink it down,
it's the cleanest around.
Hooray!
We love it in the city of A.
Hooray!
We love it in A.
Pat was so offended by the name Soup and Sandwich for a Horse that he decided to write a column on the 20... best and worst names of horses that ever competed in the Kentucky Derby.
The worst name in the history of the Kentucky Derby is Wool Sandals in 1907. It's so bad. It is so bad.
What are the other ones on your list? This is the greatest research ever.
Big Truck. Terrible name. Daddy Knows N-O-S-E Best. No. Terrible. Dit. Not a very good name. Gatch. Green Alligator.
The most hateful column ever. This horse has been dead for like 100 years.
I hate them all. Hate them all.
This horse is like, what did I do? You think I got to choose my name?
This column was 20 things I randomly got myself pissed off about. I think Pat would have to name his horse the Disingenuous Drifter. After Bobby Petrino.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer. Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. And yeah, 500 episodes. Go figure.
Unbelievable.
Great work by Sean with that recap. Just a small portion of the ridiculousness this podcast has inspired through the years. Whether we have to go outside the sport for dumbass stories or just stay right in it.
Right now, we got plenty of them right in it.
Yeah, yeah. So welcome pod for 500 time. Appreciate all of you, old listeners and new. And even that one woman in Missouri who went back once and listened to all of them again. Binge listened.
She's our favorite.
She is.
Kind of.
I got to tell you, it's just no better time for this story than to encapsulate the ridiculousness of college athletics than, you know, obviously conference realignment since we last talked to you. This one popped up. The University of Oregon Board of Trustees were going to vote to officially ratify their move to the Big Ten, a move that would upend the lives of, you know, hundreds of athletes, coaches, and administrators, effectively put a knife through the heart of a 108-year-old Pac-12, leave four of their colleagues drifting out to sea, like a leaky boat from Coos Bay, and take their rival but a fellow public institution in Oregon and in the Oregon State University and essentially leave them athletically bankrupt financially, and we'll need probably the university to bail them out. A monumental, a momentous decision, and the board of trustee chair of Oregon is named Steve Hallwerda, and he handled this committee meeting to ratify this via Zoom, via his phone, via the Portland Golf Club. He continued to play a round of golf while making this decision that would upend so many people's lives and shift so much money. And to that, I give Steve Hallwerder our man of the year candidate because I absolutely love it.
You would do the same.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
The man
don't
could
let,
not
don't
be
let anything
bothered.
Interrupt the round.
He shot an 81. He had a chance to break 80 at the Portland Golf Club. It's a good, tough course. I think he got to keep playing through. I mean, he couldn't be bothered to stop playing golf. That's how important that they took this meeting where like 12 hours before or like a day before, they're like, yeah, we're probably not leaving. Nah, we're going to leave. Excuse me. I got to hit out of the bunker. What kind of sport is this, Pat? What kind of sport is this?
The dumbest, the strangest, the weirdest, the most absurd sport. That's what it is. And yes, it's actually also the playground of the rich people. Whether you're a TV executive, whether you are an overpaid empty suit in the president's office who just goes along with the TV executives, whether you are sitting on top of an athletic department empire that has grown by probably 200% in the last decade, or whether you're the board of trustees fat cat who's trying to break 80 at Portland Golf Course while the entire nation is burning down on based on what you and your cronies are doing. That's college sports. Hallelujah.
Steve, really? You're away. Also, could we get your vote?
It really
looks like
encapsulates.
You're downwind there. You might want to club down one.
It really encapsulates the sport well, doesn't it? And the dysfunction within the sport, in the disorganization in the sport, and the lack of just leadership in everything. It's a great encapsulation of what happened. I know I couldn't join the emergency pod over the weekend. Just completed hosting a bachelor party in Austin for my best friend that had been playing for months this weekend. And of course it was the weekend in which a Power Five conference basically imploded. So it's been quite a few days, but I don't think I've ever seen, just to go back, since I haven't really commented on it, but I don't think I've ever seen a situation change so quickly from Thursday night, then Friday morning, then late Friday morning, right? Like Thursday night, it was pretty clear to me, at least, that the Pac-12 was in some trouble and going to potentially lose Arizona after the Big 12 presidents basically approved their membership. And then if that were to happen, the dominoes probably would fall and stuff. And then Friday morning, you wake up, right? And then all of a sudden, Pac-12 is pretty confident about getting a deal done and approving the grant of rights. They had a president's call. Everybody was supposed to be on it. Presidents, even those from Washington and Oregon, had suggested they were ready to sign the grant of rights just a day or so earlier. And then, you know, Big Ten, within an hour and basically 20 minutes before that Pac-12 meeting was scheduled to begin, right, then there was all of a sudden a pause. And there was whether it was a re-engagement or whether it was Oregon and or Washington just waiting to that point to make their feelings known to George Kolyakov. So I don't know which one it really was.
Like a late switch, like pro wrestling, like SummerSlam? Like,
yeah, I mean, part of me thinks that, you know, that may have been what happened. It's just hard to believe, like, 20 minutes before the meeting, right, it was suddenly like, oh, we re-engaged with the Big Ten and we're going. I don't know. We know that they've talked. They were talking for a matter of days, the Big Ten and Oregon and Washington. But and maybe that is what happened. Maybe at the last minute, you know, the plug was pulled there. But
just yeah, briefly on that. OK, yes, we don't know. And there's a little now I don't know if we'll ever get the truth, but it's sort of the Oregon Washington's like, well, we weren't interested in leaving. And then the Big Ten was like, well, we weren't really interested in them all of a sudden. It was like both sides saying they didn't want it. But I think switching in 10 minutes makes perfect sense considering the guy was playing golf. It could have literally been like, I got an 8-foot downhill with a break. If it goes in, we're going the Big Ten. Anything is possible here.
He's on the tee. He's not looking at the Zoom call, man. You know, he's trying to decide driver or three wood here. Do we want to bend it to the left or are we just going to power through? I mean,
well, you know. All right, yeah. Play it safe as the three wood. Stay in the Pac-12. Bring out the driver. Try to clear the pond. Big Ten. What are we doing? I mean, I think a scene where Oregon and Oregon State are tag team partners, but then they do the switcheroo and all of a sudden the partner takes the chair, slams it over the guy's head. His partner's head. That is pretty much what happened here. So I think this all makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. You know, you would think, I think that that call, and you guys would know better, but I think it was Friday. Was it maybe Eastern time, late afternoon, maybe early evening, was the Oregon call where the guy was on the golf course. You would think had they had something scheduled for a while out that he wouldn't be on the golf course, you know? So maybe it was this re-engagement early Friday morning with the Big Ten. And then suddenly, you know, when you thought everybody was signing on for this Pac-12 deal, that everything changed. It certainly would jibe with it, you know, the fact that he was not prepared, yeah. Or maybe you could say prepared as he crawls out of a sand bunker. Unbelievable.
Couple things. One, yeah, I suspect, and I don't know, and presumably we'll find out at some point, but maybe not. Oregon played everyone like a fiddle and told everybody what they wanted to hear, but then told the Pac. But then if you wanted to get a little more squeeze out of the Big Ten, you say, hey, you know what, we're going back into this meeting here, and we may stay. Now, do you want to give us a little more than half a share, and we'll call off this meeting or not? You know, I don't know that. But second, the other thing, the word unserious is very much in vogue these days. And there is nothing more unserious than calling in to nuke a conference while playing a round of golf. So congratulations to Steve Holwerda, the most unserious man in the world.
Hold on. Okay, first off, this is a very nice country club. They probably got pace of play rules. The deal was done by that point. I mean, you know, maybe the optics weren't the best, but the man shot an 81. I'd say we give him a little wiggle room here.
What's his handicap? Is that a good round?
Five.
For him?
I mean, it's a five. And am I shining up to get an invite to the Portland Golf Club from old Steve? Hell yeah, I am. Maybe I am.
No.
Maybe.
Be like Oregon and hold out for better. Hold out for Bandon Dunes.
Well, all right. I want a club sandwich at the, you know, after the 19th hole. So, you know, we'll do it. I'm gonna defend you as long as, you know, it's on the table. I'm just saying, journalistic integrity out the window. The deal was done by then. So, in slight fairness, still You could have pushed the tee time back an hour.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys mind playing through? No, he's played a number of holes. That's the thing. He could have been like, can you guys play through? I happen to run the University of Oregon. We're a little, and the guys would be like, gee, I hadn't heard a word. Come on. They know who he is. Yeah, go ahead. Destroy the Pac-12. Then you can play the back nine. We'll let you sit at the turn and everyone will just go through.
Between that, there was a Washington region who came into the meeting via Zoom wearing like a sleeveless T-shirt.
You see, all this does make sense in that maybe it wasn't planned, right? Like, obviously, it was pretty impromptu. I mean, I know it's a Friday afternoon in the summer, right? So everybody's kind of doing those sort of things. But if you thought that a day before, even that morning, that they knew this was going to happen, they would have alerted their board members, you know, don't be on a golf course, be well-dressed for a meeting. Very weird. So maybe it was this re-engagement Friday morning with the Big Ten, but there seems to be, you know, some debate, too, whether who pushed the launch button. You know, was it the Big Ten? Was it Oregon? Was it Arizona? What, you know? And I just have a hard time believing, like, Arizona was going to go if Oregon and Washington stayed. You know, I had a hard time believing that. Maybe they were. Certainly Arizona State wasn't. We've seen comments over the weekend from Michael Crow, their president, and clearly they wanted to stay in the Pac-12 and wanted to preserve it. It was interesting to see some of the comments now coming out over the weekend. Crow talked at Arizona State. Washington talked. The Washington president talked. And I think the Washington president said something about how the best part of the Apple deal was that you could get out of it in 2 years. There was a way out. That was amazing. That was truly amazing.
Right, yeah. That was bad salesmanship. Yeah. So. It's like, I'll sign a no-fault divorce prenup if this doesn't, you know, I'm willing to sign the prenup if this doesn't work. You got to hold. Yeah. That was not good. Look, if this is how the esteemed Pac-12, now Big Ten, trustees at, like, what is a Sun Belt trustee meeting? Is it like a dude at a it's like a dude at a tattoo parlor calling in, like
Waffle happy? House
no Waffle yeah House. Guy in the guy getting scattered and covered at a Waffle House, someone at the happy hour at the Floribama. Another dude's like, hold on, I gotta shoot these beer cans behind my trailer, then I'll vote.
There's an entire column. What would the region's Zoom call look like in
Sunbelt Zoom call? Like, hey, what's up? At least this guy was playing a nice course and he was good. He wasn't he's like shot a 108. I was down the Muni, shot a 108, couldn't interrupt the round. Like
the Muni.
Yeah. Georgia Southern, we need your vote. Hang on, I'm turkey shooting down here. Hang on.
Quiet, you scare the ducks. I'm hunting. All right. Well, what's done is done. This is gallows humor for some of you guys. All right, what's the latest on the Pac-4? I talked to one Pac-4 source over the weekend. I just got a text back, digging out. It's been, I think Biden has declared a disaster area. They'll send federal FEMA trailers in. what's the latest, Pat? What are you hearing from the Conference of Champion?
Boy, I heard a lot over the weekend. I mean, I will say I probably had conversations with a half dozen people, and most of those conversations went quickly to, first, from what the hell happened, how could we do this, to, are we really going to do this to Stanford and Cal? And these were not people associated with either university or the conference. These are people watching from the outside who couldn't believe that two of the great academic institutions and two of the great all sports institutions and the single number one producer of American Olympians in Stanford and the number four producer of American Olympians in Cal were just being kicked to the curb here. So as it was put to me yesterday by somebody, everyone is talking to everyone. Like, every single conference that thinks they have any sniff at getting any of the Pac-4, whether that's Mountain West, whether that's the American Athletic Conference, who knows who else is making phone calls. And if you're in the, if you're part of the desperate four, you're taking the phone calls and making your own. I've heard that there is a redoubled effort perhaps from the Bay Area schools to try to get into the Big Ten, thinking if you're at 18, you're going to go to 20. I have heard that there was some dalliance back and forth between those two and the ACC, but I don't expect that to go anywhere. So the options are not very appealing. I mean, I don't think Cal or Stanford, well, Oregon State, Washington State may want to be in a Mountain West or think that that is their best option. Cal and Stanford don't like that option very much. What they can do, I don't know. I mean, there's a few of them I went through. I wrote a column yesterday that went through like five potential options for the Bay Area schools, and they're all difficult. Independence, de-emphasizing football, West Coast Conference, Mountain West, you know, again, trying to jump in with the ACC, which if you're appalled by what Oregon, Washington, USC, and UCLA are doing to their athletes, well, you're just doing the same thing, except it would actually be worse because everyone's in the Eastern time zone in the ACC. So if you can find a good solution, let me know and let them know because they don't have one.
Yeah, they are limited with good options. I think there's three probably leagues to watch here. Pat mentioned some of them there, like obviously the Mountain West, the American Athletic Conference, and the ACC. You know, those are three to kind of watch. And I think each of them have different options when it comes to these four. You know, the Mountain West makes the most sense as far as geographic and cultural kind of fits, that there would be some kind of merger or acquisition or something, you know, with the Pac-4 or the Pac-3, maybe Stanford. A lot of thought as Stanford goes independent and maybe the three go roll into the Mountain West. Maybe they rebrand Pac, you know, Pacific Mountain, whatever, 14, 13. So there's that. The AAC, I think, you know, probably has one of the better TV situations of the group of five. So you wonder if those West Coast teams would be interested at all in a merger there. It would be hard to see that because I think just geographically, the travel and all that, those schools don't seem to want to do that. Now, could they go pluck off some American teams? That's, you know, that's the kind of a question. And in the ACC option, which I agree with Pat, I think is a very much a long shot. In fact, ACC presidents met Friday night to really kind of, it sounded like, bring closure to their expansion plan that was ongoing last week about the acquisition of Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, Stanford, and Cal. So those are the five that they were really seriously exploring that. And they had a meeting Friday night to basically get an update on it after the Big 12's acquisitions and the Big 10 acquisitions. And it was supposed to maybe bring closure to that idea that that would happen. So it would be hard to see that happening. So yeah, the options are incredibly limited. And I think, you know, it's a tough spot they're in.
I got the option. Get over yourself. It's time to give up on this. We're aligning with like-minded institutions. Okay. Yeah, that's the MAC. That's the Ivy League. It's kind of the SEC is doing this pretty well. That's nobody else. Okay, I get it. You're Stanford. Okay, you are one of the five best universities in the country, if not the world. You might be the number one. Totally get it. Your research, your quality of your student, your every single thing about you. We're talking about softball games here. We're talking about volleyball games. We're talking about football games. Your academic reputation will not drop because your kids drive over to Fresno and play softball and potentially lose. The Mountain West has lots of good programs in sports.
No.
They got to get over it, Pat. Okay, yes. If
Fresno, they don't have good programs, Dan. They don't.
They got something. They well, you got to beat the hell out of them. Beat Gonzaga.
Remember that
I don't
team
know.
You coached that you won 32-0? There'll be a lot of, and you soccer, there'll be a lot of 32-0.
Let me just tell you about the 32-0 soccer game I coached. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Okay. Was not that bad. We won 32, other teams zero. That's pretty good. Now the zero, not so good, I'm guessing. But the 32, good times. Every kid went home happy that night. Believe me. You come up with some kind of scheduling agreement with these things. Maybe the dumbest lie of all of college athletics, and we're talking about a lot of them, is that somehow your conference impacts your academics in some way. It doesn't. It just doesn't. Yes, if Fresno's like, hey, Stanford, you want to pair up on a research project? You're like, yeah, you can clean our lab beakers. Okay, no, we're not taking any of you guys. But we need somewhere to play a baseball game this weekend. We're over here. Get a bus. Let's go. Like when the ACC added, I remember this was the thing. We're going to add the University of Louisville. Not as prestigious of a school as Duke. No, it's not. But it's a good athletic program. Was there one kid who was like, I was going to go to Duke, but then I found out that every other year they play football against Louisville. I can't go to Duke anymore. Get over yourself and find something. I'll shift to this right now. And I know it's impossible, but could we ever get to a point where they just have football leagues and then everything else has their own make sense league? We've argued this on this pod before. They do it in sports where not everyone plays. Okay. Notre Dame is in the Big Ten for hockey, right? Nobody looks down their nose if you're playing with North Dakota, lacrosse, beach volleyball. There's different leagues where you just go, well, we don't have enough guys, so we'll just merge up. Why can't we do that? And enough with the all sport stuff, because we'll get into these complaints by the Oregon volleyball, like softball players and stuff, and they're like, hey, this isn't what I signed up for. Why do we have to be an all sport conference when there's only 1.5 sports that anyone is even watching?
Well, I am coming more around to that way of thinking, because I think we're going to have to come around to it. That's where we're headed, right? I mean, this makes no flipping sense on 18 different levels. So if you want it to make economic sense on one level, don't drag everyone else into your crap and drag them all over the country with this.
You could charter football flight. A football flight can charter. Maybe basketball, men's basketball, women's basketball. But other than that, what are we doing? Go ahead, Ross.
Yeah, no, I saw a clip. I'm sure you guys maybe have seen it, of Missouri coach Eli Drinkwitz addressing the situation. He was asked about it after practice. And he said he kind of said the quiet part out loud, the part that we say a lot in the media, but you don't hear athletic administrators or coaches say quite a bit. And that was, did we ask the players how they feel about this? You know, and I took away from his comments, which again, a lot of people feel this way, but don't necessarily say it, is football is going to be fine, basically. And I think he said that, you know, football is going to be fine. But what about all the other sports? Did we ask them about the travel schedules? Did we ask them about how this impacts, maybe how much might impact their mental health? So I think to Dan's point, we've been heading for a while into some kind of new evolution of the industry. It seems like we're going to get there much quicker than I ever thought. In 3 years, we have just all this incredible movement of realignment and consolidation of the biggest brands, which we could all see coming. And then the next step is, some kind of split in some way. The question is, how does this split work? Is it just football that breaks out in a way like we're talking about here? And then if that happens, how are all these Olympic sports funded? Are they still funded by football, but football's broken away? Football going to be okay with funding these sports when they're broken away? Is it just the top 30 or 50 teams break away and they continue to keep the model and NIL evolves into some kind of revenue sharing or something like that? So there's a lot of different ways to do it. This is one thing suggested to me during COVID by an athletic director. So this is 3 years old, but he mentioned, do we break away athletic departments from the university? So all athletic departments are breaking away from the university. The tether between higher education in the athletic departments is torn away, which it's already stretching right now. Is it torn away? And then you pay for a copyright or whatever, a license to use the logos and the colors of the school and the school name, but it's an it's an independent athletic department where you can do some things that you can't right now. So it there's just a lot of options. I don't know which way we're going, but I can tell you this, the courts probably will decide which way that college athletics will go, right? And then the employment thing is certainly at the top of everybody's mind.
Well, I wonder, and you know, you talk about the courts. So let's just say this quickly. Like, you see Eli Drinkwitz, Missouri coach, and he says, I thought the transfer withdrawal, I thought the portal was closed. Oh, that's just for the student athletes. The adults in the room get to do whatever they want, apparently. See, Eli's got a little subscription to the College Football Inquirer. You know? Did we count the cost? I'm not talking, you know, what's the number one symptom or cause of mental health issues? It's lack of rest or sleep. Traveling those baseball, softball games, those people, they travel commercial. They, when they get done, they got to get to the airport. They got to come back. It's 3-4 in the morning. They got to go to class. There was a Michigan regent, Jordan Acker, talked about these college leaders from the Big Ten, SEC, ACC, and beyond. Again, talking about how the biggest threat to college sports, the transfer portal and NIL. Then they go transfer portal, a conference in a week in August. The arguments for congressional action had no merit before. Now they look positively silly. In what world should student athletes be given a bigger grind with almost no say in this massive change with zero of the TV dollars going in their pockets? Like, the call is coming from inside the house now. Right.
Yeah.
Like and so how in the world are you going to get anything done in Congress when you literally have Power Five coaches and Power Five trustees and, you know, Chip Kelly said, well, we should just have one league. But what I want to get back to with this just football. What's the count? Like, I don't know anyone. I've not spoken to one person in college athletics, and maybe they're out there, that's like, yeah, this is totally great. We should totally spread out as much as possible and have as much travel as possible and all that. Like, I don't know one person. We had Jack Schwarbrick on here. He's like, we should just be playing Michigan State and whatever. Like, what are we doing? Who is arguing against it? Why? I know there's no leader. I know we have no leadership in this sport. No one is in charge. It's not Charlie Baker. But even if we got the major conference guys to get together and just be like, yeah, we should just do this for these sports, or maybe this sport, maybe we keep SEC baseball, but we don't care so much about this one. Like, who is against some kind of common sense where it's like, let's let football make its decisions, and then let's then make other decisions? Because logistically, it seems a lot easier to have, like, belong to six different conferences than to belong to an 18-team conference. Pat?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Increasingly, I'm with you on this. I think there's a couple issues here. Can you just break away football, or does then basketball come into play? There is a $1 billion basketball tournament involved.
But that has nothing to do with conference play. It's all in.
No, I know. But can you? I'm going to tell you that the athletic departments are not going to want to just break off one. They're going to want the football, basketball too, probably, I would think, for the money. And then guess what? Women's basketball is going too. And then we're going to talk about Title IX, federal law. And what exactly are the state-funded universities, the taxpayer-funded universities, doing to adhere to Title IX in these situations? So there are problems. There are hurdles to getting there. At this point, let's examine them. Let's see what's the best way to go, because this is not it. Speaking of calls from within the house, several softball players from the Pac-12 conference, from Oregon, from Washington, place out there where, you know, they play elite softball, got on Twitter and like, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up to play my senior year going to Rutgers. I didn't sign up. You know, I went to school someplace where my parents could see me play close to home. Now that's not in part of the deal. Somebody, Morgan Scott, what happened to mental health of student athletes being important? The balance of practice, travel, school, and having a social life is already hard enough. Why add even more stress? The words I never want to hear from another college administrator, student athlete welfare. You don't give it. Shut up.
Boom. Roasted.
But he shot an 81, Pat. He shot an 81.
I was looking for it really quickly. I think it was Brett McMurphy who put it out. I think he got the information from Arizona State. It was just like the travel situation. You know, we're talking about Oregon and Washington in the Big Ten, which you got to think, right, is a lot more travel than it would have been had they stayed in the Pac-12. But the Big 12 move, it was an interesting travel. It was much smaller of a difference than I had expected. You know, like average plane flights and stuff was like 30 minutes longer, you know, which I'd have thought.
Pac-12 travel was already hard.
Already pretty long, right?
Yeah.
Right. North to south. And now they'll be moving more, I guess, east to west or west to east. But either way, I mean, look, they have for so long, people within high up in college athletics always use the, as Pat was mentioning, always use the, you know, it's not about money. It's about more than that, right? It's about student athlete well-being and healthcare. It's about all these other things. They would say that they're making the moves for the money that then in turn can provide more resources to student athlete healthcare and well-being. But at the same time, the conference move is damaging that more in a lot of ways. So none of it makes sense. And in a lot of ways, you know, Friday,
if you pull football, you just have a football conference. Okay. The money's still going into the athletic department. If you have a basketball, let's say you're
hopefully,
let's say you're, I don't even know what, but let's say you're Boston College and you go, all right, we're going to be in the ACC for football. I don't know. None of them really are good examples, but say you're in one league for football again, like Notre Dame, you're in a hockey league. Wait, we need a light league to play hockey. Hey, everyone around here plays hockey. We're in your league. I don't know what share of revenue they get from Big Ten hockey, but there must be some check cut. Now, it doesn't cover the costs and all that, but it's still going in. But you say, well, we're going to pull football out. We're going to separate it. It's still money going into this thing called the university. This is all an accounting trick. Like, the athletic department for generations has said football has to pay for all these other sports. And if all of a sudden football, it presumably still could because you can make more money. But if football, because you'd make the same amount of money for your football league, but you cut all the costs of traveling all these other teams. So it'd actually be more profit. But also, even if it can't, the university can say, well, it's important to us to have a volleyball team, so we will cover that. I mean, it's just accounting. The athletic department must break even. Well, it's actually not a good thing because then they spend so much that their budgets are so crazy that they have to chase things like, let's join an 18-team league that stretches all over the country. Because we decided to build, you know, what's like, you know, an $800 million football stadium. Well, maybe you didn't need that. Maybe you didn't need a new locker room every 3 years. Maybe you didn't need all this stuff. It leads to waste of resources. So if Oregon can say, look, we're going to ship our football program to the Big Ten and we're going to charter flights and it's going to be fine. We're going to make more money, but we're going to cut our costs by playing a more regional. And I'm not just talking about Pac-12 teams, but we're going to play the University of Portland. We're going to play Gonzaga. We're going to play whatever's around there, right? And we're just going to be a little more regional and cut our costs in the other. I don't know where this is a bad thing other than, like, there's a lot of hard feelings, like, we don't want to play you anymore, or I just feel like it's a lot of ego and, like, puffed up what league we're in, opposed to the common sense of, like, this is better for the bottom line and our athletes and common sense and even recruiting and all of that.
Yeah, it's interesting. One of the points you were making there about the need to spend all that money. I did have a conversation Saturday with an administrator, a really smart one, and one who listens to their show, who was making the point that he thought I was missing, that this is almost involuntary spending that's caused by the competitive marketplace thing. There's no draft. You have to go get your athletes. And so the process of that every single time anybody gets a micro advantage on you and you lose one player, it's like, well, let's figure out how. Oh, because they had an extra staffer. Well, we got to have an extra staffer. And so it drives this escalation. Now, I understand that. But my point was, all right, so are we sure that, you know, have we done exit interviews to know, was it the waterfall at Alabama that got them? Was it the miniature golf course at Clemson that got them? Like, there's got to be some level of, there's got to be a ceiling somewhere on this of common sense. Now, or is it just football gets to do literally everything at once and everybody else has to fit around that, including conference affiliation, which is what we're talking about here. Do we have to do that? Maybe we do, but I would like a full examination of exactly why we have gotten ourselves to this point.
Yeah, it's kind of like what's going on with the NIL state law situation, right? It's like, as they call it, a race to the bottom. Everybody, it's just, you got competitive entities trying to outdo and gain some kind of competitive advantage over their rivals, and they're in the process, they're like eating themselves, and that appears to be what's happening as well when it comes to the conference situation. You know, this thing impacts so much, all these moves. We're talking about the next, you know, evolution and splitting football out and whatever. And one of my big questions on Friday, and I tweeted a little bit about this, but what happens to CFP, the expanded CFP? I mean, you don't have a Power Five, you don't have a fifth Power Five potentially. What happens? And there's a couple of commissioners who believe that, you know, it should be reexamined, as you might think, the format with the six automatic qualifiers and six at-larges, you know, and maybe do five automatic qualifiers and seven at-larges. So the CFP future, all that stuff is, it's a trickle down right now. And I wonder what we're going to see come out the other end here.
So you think they will pull, now we got 2 years of the CFP. 25 and 24 and 25 mm-hmm. seasons. Do you mm-hmm. think they will pull the sixth bid to make it five for in 24? Or, I mean, obviously in 26, they're going to redo the whole system.
Well, and right. So, yeah, I
you
mean.
You think they'll do it before? I think in 26, there's no way you're going to get six. I'm hoping they get five.
Right.
Yeah.
And they don't just, the Big Ten and the SEC don't go, let's just do all autos. And then our fourth place team gets in.
Right.
You know, I'd prefer a route for five champs. You're still getting seven bids. Like the SEC and the Big Ten are going to get 8 to 9 bids every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that should be enough, you know, but will they change it for 2024?
Oh, there's never enough. It's never.
I know, but like, God, fourth place.
I think that you know, and to kind of recap, because I bet some of our listeners don't understand the situation right now. You know, we got one more year here in 2023 of a 14 playoff, and then it'll expand to 12 in 2024, and it'll be 12 in 2025. And then at that point, the contract with ESPN ends, right? The television contract. And then 2026 and beyond, they've made basically a verbal agreement, the CFP has, to keep the same format and, you know, keep the expansion for the next TV contract. But if there's not a next TV contract in 2026 and after 2025, then there's nothing really written binding them, right? So that's much easier, certainly, to change. In 2024 and 2025, to change it those years, to change the format those years, I think you got to have a unanimous vote. I think you have to have a unanimous vote to change the format in 2024 and 2025 because, again, it's part of that the current kind of agreement. But they could have unanimity in that, although there are probably some group of five commissioners who would be against that. But certainly the powers, right, the Big Ten and SEC specifically, you would imagine they would prefer to have fewer AQs if there's a, you know, fewer Power 5 to one fewer Power 5 team. Because right now the thought is each Power 5 champion probably would get a vote in the current system or get their champion in the current system. Although if you look in the last 10 years, right, the Pac-12 would have missed it 1 year and you'd have two group of five champions in. But usually you'd have had, right, five Power Five champions in a group of five. And so now I think the thought is, do we want two group of five, you know, champions in every year? So I think, so to recap, I think it might need a unanimous decision to change it in 24 and 25. So it'd be more difficult, but 26 and beyond for sure. The Big Ten and the SEC will steer that ship.
I mean, the power of those two leagues aren't just we're the biggest, we got the most money, we got the biggest TV brands, all that. It's, if you don't vote for us, we're going to go take your teams.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Like, we will invade. Even if you're in the alliance, we're going to invade.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, like, can you see this thing where it's like, well, you know, say the Big 12 sits there and says, well, you know, we don't think that's, like, they're going to argue back. And you're like, listen, buddy, we'll grab Utah the moment we want it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Shut up or we're calling Salt Lake right now. We're the Big Ten. And you're like, we're voting with you, right? It's like those little countries around Russia that just vote for them because they don't want to get invaded. I think that's how it works.
Kyrgyzstan falls in with
just like, hey man, we got no opinion on this. Whatever you want. I don't know, man. All right, how about this one? The Rose Bowl. For years and years, this sport and their postseason, the playoff could not expand. The sport was held hostage because the Rose Bowl wanted to kick off at 5 p.m. Eastern time so that the sun set over the San Gabriel Mountains in Pasadena, outside of Pasadena, California, at the start of the third quarter. They would not move the game up to 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific, because then the sunset would be at the wrong time. A sunset ran part of this sport. This is a true story. We could not even get a 4-team playoff because of the Rose Bowl. We couldn't get New Year's Day's, let's have some semifinals because of the Rose Bowl, which would have made sense. We had to go New Year's Eve, which everybody hates, because of the Rose Bowl sunset. The Pac-12 and Big Ten, particularly Commissioner Jim Delaney, who, oh, by the way, went to work for the Rose Bowl after, got a little consulting deal. Amazing. Amazing how those coincidences happen upon retirement. Carried the Rose Bowl's water to the end. I mean, they were, Delaney, man, you could not have had a better ally. And then, in the end, the Pac-12, at least 4 of the schools, and the Big Ten killed the whole thing.
Yeah, it's amazing. Really an amazing plot twist.
How do you have Big Ten versus Pac-12 now? I mean, even like a month ago, they were arguing, we want a double host. When we get a semifinal, we still want to have our Rose Bowl at 5 p.m., which is going to screw up the whole TV schedule of having the quarterfinals on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. But the triple header on New Year's Day. So when they go to 12 teams, the schedule right now is one game on New Year's Eve, right? And then a triple header of quarterfinal games on New Year's Day, which for football fans will be absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
And the Rose Bowl is trying to screw that up. Now there is no more Pac-12 or the Pac-4. We're not having the Big Ten champ play the Pac-4 in this game.
Well,
the alliance is over. The sunset has been clouded over. The sun won't set in Pasadena. The sun won't set.
The sun has set on the Pac-12.
There you go.
Thanks. Yes. With the big twist. Pulling it down. Yeah. I mean,
this is SummerSlam. This is WWE SummerSlam. After 100 years, you guys just took a chair to their head.
Well, you know. It is incredible how it's all played out, because as Dan mentioned, right, the Rose Bowl was the one that kind of dragged on a little bit this expansion last fall. They were the last one to kind of sign on to the expansion. And there was only supposed to really be one more real Rose Bowl, right, this year, Pac-12 Big Ten, because then since they agreed on expansion, the Rose Bowl was going to be you know, a semifinal, quarterfinal in the rotation. And the CFP has made it clear that they were going to pair as much as they could when the seeds come out. They were going to pair Pac-12 in Big Ten in the Rose Bowl in a quarter or semi as much as they could. But really, the true Rose Bowl was kind of dead when they accepted the expansion. Although, as Dan mentioned, right, they were fighting to actually hold a second game and have an actual Rose Bowl, which would have been kind of crazy, right? Because it would have probably been the third best Pac-12 team against the like fourth best, maybe even fifth best Big Ten team. So that did never seem very appealing anyway. And now, obviously, it's completely blown up.
Yeah. By the way, I'm not going to hijack, but just for a second, think about, like, can George Kliakoff even go to the Pac-12 football championship game this year or the Pac-12 basketball tournaments? Like, can you show up after all of your organs have been removed? Like, I mean, how do you even go? And try to sit there and say, welcome to our great event with our great conference, all of which is falling apart. Just talk about awkward. Yeah, this is the Southwest Airlines commercial for George.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, or like, yeah, you need a Snicker bar to feel better. I don't know. Yeah, you probably just need to step down. It just didn't happen. He got boxed out on that. Yeah. How do you hand the trophy? I mean, it's going to be.
I mean, all of it.
I mean, yeah, even the schools that are, yeah, every school hates you. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Not good.
The ones that left hate you. The ones that stayed hate you.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, there's a bit about that from, I think this was a Washington president interview I saw, seemed to intimate or suggest, whatever, that the schools were maybe at least slightly misled on the deal. And I don't remember the exact quote of the Washington president, but it seemed like that the schools thought the deal would be this over here, and it was this, you know, it just wasn't as strong in some regards. And look, it's been a year of negotiations, and George Kliakoff has been very confident in one of his administrators in his league who is not real thrilled, I think, at everything that unfolded. Mentioned that, you know, I think the words were George was overconfident and under-delivered.
All right. Anything else on the realignment? Obviously, this is the ongoing saga of all ongoing sagas. So anything else anyone want to touch on? Because I do have a little bit of football, actually.
Oh, actual football.
Astounding.
Yeah, we better get to it. We'll have various tentacles of this that'll come up for weeks.
Yeah, keep going. Keep subscribing.
Yeah.
We had a huge week last week on our listenership. We appreciate all our new listeners or people coming back to the pod at the same time. We just, you know, good for ratings. We just need the sport to implode every week.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, the sport. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, just thanks. Kill off 108-year-old conference. Yeah.
Good times. Keep stick with us. We're not done with this. I did want to do this. Now, last week, Florida State, they're worried about their conference. They're worried about their revenue. They're worried about a lot of things. That said, over the weekend, they landed their commitment from KJ Bolden, who's a safety out of Georgia, the number one safety in the country by most of the recruiting analysts. Top 10, top 15, five-star recruit, beat Georgia, Auburn, everybody, Ohio State for this guy. Mike Norvell's program now has four top 40 players. They're in the top five in everyone's class rankings for 2024. For a program that's supposedly doomed in the ACC, the Seminoles are saddling back up and looking, you know, they're poised for a good season, but things are kind of rolling in Tallahassee, other than the angst over the future. And I always wonder sometimes if the panic never really arrives. Pat, thoughts on the Seminoles?
Yeah, going to be a fascinating season for them on the field. It's there for them if they're good enough, and they might well be good enough this year. This might be the big breakthrough for Mike Norvell, who's been a good coach. Can he reach elite status? We'll know quickly. They're playing LSU in Orlando Labor Day weekend. And then they've also got to go to Clemson, where they have gotten their ass handed to them a lot of times in recent years. But they've got a chance. And as you said, recruiting momentum building forward. So The reasonable expectation is Florida State, they may never be as consistently great as they were under Bobby Bowden, because that's almost impossible for anyone. But still, for them to be back to being really good. And then, you know, what does that mean for the big picture in terms of their long-term marketability, viability, and that wild tantrum by everyone associated with the school last week in the middle of everything? I mean, that was still so crazy to me. I have not yet heard any definitive, you know, or even undefinitive evidence that they have a place to go. Like, the SEC isn't jumping up and down saying, oh, gosh, yeah, if Florida State can just get out of that deal, we'll take them right now. I haven't heard that from the Big Ten either. So yeah, where they're going, I don't know, but they're making a lot of noise.
Well, that's the thing, is that they're making a lot of noise off the field, and they need to probably make a lot of noise on the field in order to help their case off the field. So this season does feel really, really important, because they do seem to be gearing up, Florida State, for some serious move off the field. I don't really know what it is. Like Pat said, it's I don't sense the Big Ten or SEC is interested in getting involved in a grant of rights legal fight, being in the middle of that. And you know, SEC already has the state of Florida with Florida. Big Ten, you know, they're going more east to west in expansion, not as much south. But I know, you know, and a lot of people may have missed this on Friday, but Sportico reported a pretty significant story around this issue, that Florida State has been working with JP Morgan Chase to explore how the athletic department, you know, can raise capital and kind of be a private entity. We just talked about this, right? We just talked about, like, how the athletic departments could break away from a school. So is that what they're thinking in some way? And then they could, you know, use this entity to potentially work out of the grant of rights and maybe be independent for a little while. I mean, there's all kind of stuff, possibilities out there. But the bottom line is they need to start winning and winning consistently, right, on the field in football, to make their case off the field a little better.
Well, what they need is to find a way that the television networks are running all this stuff. So the TV networks want to get Florida State into either the SEC or the Big Ten because it would help produce big games. But what is the motivation of ESPN to blow up the ACC when they have the ACC on a nice deal to 2036 to add Florida State to the SEC, where they then would have to pay more?
Yeah,
they're already broadcasting Florida State games. So until that bottom line works, ESPN's out. Now, could Fox try to say, we want them in the Big Ten, and then it's worthwhile? But you're down to one league and one suitor. These leagues are being run. SEC doesn't want to move at all. They're good. 16, let's go. But there's no incentive. You have to find a way for the team. That Oregon and Washington made sense for Fox to go and say, we're going to blow up the Pac-12 and get them to the Big Ten and CBS and NBC. But mainly Fox, because Fox owns all of Big Ten television rights. And then they sublease them out to these other television. Because then it's like, well, we don't have to pay for the Pac-12 at all. We get the West Coast. So you have to find a way for the TV network to want it more than the presidents. And until that happens, that's your issue. So right now, one is off the table. It makes zero sense for ESPN to say, let's give up the ACC and all that when we've got a sweetheart deal. And let's end up having to pay more for the deal we just made with the SEC. There's no finance there, as I can see it. All right, one more recruiting thing. We got some other stories. The great name Gatlin Bear of Burley, Idaho, top 40 recruit in the country, big time wide receiver. Everybody wanted him. Final choice: Michigan and Boise State. Picks Boise State.
How about that? Bus
again. You talk about a lineman and NIL. I think Boise threw all their NIL money at Gatlin Bear.
Might have.
This kid, I watched the highlights. He's pretty good, man.
Gallen like, Bear from Burley.
If you, I mean, I am. Now he's going on a mission. Burley he's going. Bear. I think he's in the Latter Day Church. So yeah. Latter Day Saints, and he's going to go on a mission. But so who knows in the end? But like, I think Alabama offered. I mean, everybody offered this kid. And you know how good you got to be to be named Gatlin Bear from Burley, Idaho, and have Alabama and Michigan and Ohio State be like, yeah, we'll take you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to be really good, because it's not like, oh, yeah, it's probably you're like looking at the competition and going, what? Anyway, yeah,
you're not huge sneaking recruit. Into the depth chart.
No, that, one of the all-time great recruits for Boise State. We'll see if he ends up there. But, yeah, he visited Texas, Nebraska, or at least they – yeah, I think he took school visit. I mean, everybody wanted old Gatlin Bear. I mean, just a great name. Just a great name. This is a character in Yellowstone, right?
Yeah.
Gatlin Bear. Fantastic.
Living on top of a mountain with, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
Grizzly Bear for his best friend. Yeah.
Absolutely. Just terrific stuff. All right. Couple stories we got to get to. All right. Really, this is a discussion point. Our friends at Message Board Genius, who we love. Let me get this up here. Okay. So they find this on UGASports.com, the dog vent. NASCAR dog, DAWG, posed this question. We all know fall weddings are an abomination for college football fans. The fall wedding screws everything up. NASCAR dog throws this out here, and I think it's perfect for the people's court. Fall funerals are just as bad as fall weddings.
God.
Therefore, if you are going to die, should you say don't do a fall Saturday funeral, have a memorial service in the off season? And his theory, I believe it's a he. I'm sorry. I don't think a woman would think like this. But I'm probably going to get canceled for even imagining
they're
that.
Much,
but
I, much out of smaller respect, than us.
Someone named NASCAR Dog, just because you die doesn't mean you necessarily have to have your funeral during the season. There's a little invention called a freezer that allows you to be buried in the spring. Very, very selfish to allow your funeral to be scheduled during the fall. Pat 40, is it rude to die in the fall and expect a funeral during the season?
It's incredibly rude. It should be written into every will. Like, you know what? If you are a football fan, say, look, don't bother. And I could actually see this creating a cottage industry in, like, the state of Alabama. You know, like Arnie's cold storage mausoleum, where we just put the body in. You know, if you go down in September, you put the body in, and we'll wait till an open date, or we'll wait till December. You know, if Bama's in the playoff, we'll wait till January. Fine. So, yes, Arnie's cold storage mausoleum coming to a city near you in the SEC.
Yeah, yeah. I can imagine in early December, all the morgues to be full, and all these all the freezers, maybe restaurant freezers cleaned out. Let's get the bodies in there. You know, we're full back here. Yeah, this is. I would expect nothing less from message boards.
I think this. I mean, at least like Iron Bowl week. Like you got to be like, nah, we'll do it Monday. We'll do it Monday. No Saturday funerals.
Can't be dying on Iron Bowl week, which also means you can't be shooting each other down there. Remember?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. It's led to the need for numerous funerals. Yeah. So yeah, let's. I think he's on to something. It is a little rude. I mean, just tell your love. You know, you know. Obviously, if you're on your deathbed or you got the will, that's one thing. But even then, you kind of tell like your wife, or you tell your friends, yeah, you know, if I die, just cremate me, you know, and you're only like 30, but you know, you never know, right? Car, you know, unfortunately. Yeah. I think it's fair to say, look, don't do it on a Saturday. Let's just put the, I think he's got a good point. The freezer, I don't want, cause everyone's going to be bitter. Plus, I don't want to be in the ground for the last Iron Bowl, right? I don't want to be in the, I mean, if you're Georgia, you want to be still on this side of the dirt while they're playing in the playoff or something, right? So I agree. I think this is message board genius. He's got a point. He's got a point on that. All right. Finally, we'll go here. Quick update on Otter 841 in Santa Cruz. No sighting of that otter or our Montana River otter who attacked the women last week. in the ongoing Otter uprising of 2023. They're distracting us with conference realignment, but we here at the College Football Inquirer are saying laser focused on this uprising. You're not sneaking it past us, Otters of America.
That's right. We're watching out for the humans.
We talked about the cultural difference of Montana and Santa Cruz and how in Montana there is a otter hunt on to kill this otter or get this otter, at least capture it. I don't know what. In Santa Cruz, an ice cream shop has honored Otter 841 with an ice cream flavor.
I love it.
Is it Marianne's PB&J? Otter 841, though, is really, they're not attacking people. They're stealing their surfboards.
Stealing the surfboards.
Marianne.
Ross had the difference between, like, one's fluffy and the other one is not.
Yeah. Right. Marianne's in Santa Cruz says Otter 841 is made up of cinnamon caramel ice cream laced with snickerdoodle dough chunks from, I guess, a cookie. I don't know. Whatever. That's just kind of chunks. They say the ice cream, like Otter 841, is cute, sweet, and local, but has a bit of bite.
Well done, Marianne's. I like it.
So, again, the outlaw 841 is being honored. The attacking mean one in Montana. Look out. Don't pop your little head up, buddy. Don't pop your little head. All right. This show's gone long. 500 show. Thank you, everyone. Honestly, we started this thing. Who knew? We'd make it five.
Yeah.
Don't know if we'll make it five more. Yeah, sometimes we're not sure. Could get canceled at any moment. So tell your friend to tell a friend. Get us some more subscribers, all right? Come on. Do your part. We gave you 500 free episodes.
That's right. Including anybody who dies during football season. Make sure they're subscribed.
There you go.
Yeah, keep the thing playing while they're in that freezer. The morgue freezer should be just round the clock College Football Inquirer. All right, we will appreciate it. Subscribe. Leave us nice messages. We will be back later in this week. Who the hell knows what's happening, but we'll be here for you. Talk to you later.